Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the military trial against Major Nidal Hassan for the attack that killed 13 and wounded 32 of his fellow military personnel and civilians resumes this morning at Fort Hood, Texas. There's little suspense over the question of guilt or innocence in the proceedings, as Major Hassan, representing himself, said, "I am the shooter," in his opening statement. But there are at least two big areas of contention in this trial. Is Hassan seeking martyrdom through the death penalty? And why is he on trial for a workplace shooting and not an act of terror? To talk about these issues, I'm joined now by Richard Rosen, law professor at Texas Tech and former staff judge advocate at Fort Hood. Professor Rosen, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much for having me.
And let's start with the death penalty question. What is Hassan doing that has the lawyers advising him convinced his aim is not a vigorous defense, but suicide by court-ordered lethal injection?
That's the defense counsel, the standby counsel's perspective, since they don't actually represent him. They're just there to advise him. But Hassan disagreed with that characterization of what he wanted out of the trial, and I believe his former civilian attorney, J.P. Galligan, has been quoted in the press by disclaiming that intent as well.
How does it look to you? It seems to look to a lot of observers that he admitted he's the shooter, didn't plead guilty, which might have lessened his sentence, but pleaded not guilty, but then admitted it. He hasn't cross-examined any witnesses. His lawyers tried to get the judge to limit their roles as they felt taking part in his defense under these circumstances compromised their professional ethics. What do you think he's doing?
With respect to findings, you know, whether he's guilty or innocent of the charges and all of the specifications, Hassan may not plead guilty in the military system to a capital offense. Our code does not permit it. And the judge also, because of the prejudice it would cause, would not allow him to plead guilty to attempted premeditated murder because she was afraid that would bleed over into the question of guilt or innocence on premeditated murder. So he had no choice but to plead not guilty. And so the prosecution has to go through the steps of proving each and every allegation in the charges and specifications. And so I don't think there's much question about what will happen in the finding stage, and there never was. And I'm not sure what defense counsel could have done to prevent findings of guilty. I think the real battle here is going to be on sentencing, whether he gets either life or death, because those are the only two options if he is convicted, and I think he will be, of premeditated murder.
And listeners, what's your take on this question? If you believe the death penalty should be an option, if you're pro-death penalty for the worst murders, do you want to see it used for possible martyrdom? If this is what Major Hassan is doing, if you're a criminal defense lawyer or a prosecutor, could you take part in a proceeding where you believe the defendant is seeking the death penalty? Or if you're in general pro-death penalty, do you become anti-death penalty in a case like this because you don't want to see him be able to use it for martyrdom, if that's in fact what he's doing? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And still on this point, Professor Rosen, yesterday his lawyers turned over documents to the New York Times showing that Hassan told a panel of military mental health experts before the trial, quote, "I'm paraplegic and could be in jail for the rest of my life. However, if I died by lethal injection, I would still be a martyr."
Right. Yeah, I read that as well. I can only tell you what he said in open court, which is, of course, subsequent to appearing before the Board of Mental Health Specialists, and that is that he disagreed with that characterization of his intent on sentencing. I think ultimately it may be an academic question anyway, because we have people on death row and have been on death row for decades. The military has not carried out an execution since 1961.
And the reason that he's a paraplegic, in case people were wondering about that quote, is that he was paralyzed by police gunfire during the crime. The second controversy that I want to ask you about, Professor, is over the charges he's up against. In a nutshell, the military is trying him for murder, not terrorism, despite his widely understood goal of shooting as many military personnel as possible to prevent their taking up arms against Muslims, correct?
That's correct. But there are a couple of reasons for that. The predominant reason is terrorism is not a crime under the military code. It's not a specified crime. And second, I think the government wants to keep this case as simple as possible. And so it kind of cut through the underbrush of, you know, possible other offenses, you know, weapons offenses, you know, assault charges and so on, to leave just the most serious charges, which are the 13 counts of premeditated murder and the 30-plus counts of attempted premeditated murder. So I think the government intended to keep this case simple. So, for example, they could have charged him with killing an unborn child, which is a crime in the military, but that just raises needless appellate issues. And so if you can convict him of, you know, multiple counts of premeditated murder, it's not going to matter for sentencing, adding in these other charges.
But we should say that beyond the symbolic meaning for the victims and their families, there are very real financial implications as well. It means their injuries were not combat-related, which really, as I understand it, cuts into the benefits available, right?
That's what I have heard, and I'm not sure what those benefits are. And if that's the case, I think that's truly disturbing. Why the government has, you know, just characterized this as workplace violence, I think, in part is a matter of policy, and that's what they decided to call it. But second, I think there's a real danger in the president, you know, of the United States, for instance, coming out and calling Hassan a terrorist before the trial has taken place. We're very sensitive. We're a command-centered. We have a command-centered system of criminal justice in the military, and there's always the concern of unlawful command influence. And, you know, you certainly don't want, you know, the commander-in-chief coming out before Hassan has been found guilty of anything and calling him a terrorist.
And I understand that the Senate has labeled it an act of terrorism. That, of course, is a political determination.
That's right.
The president has indicated something similar, but I gather that the military position is he acted alone to avoid deployment, not to advance a political agenda, and that's some of the reasons that they're trying him for murder as opposed to terrorism, even though I guess you could argue with those conclusions that he wasn't acting to advance a political agenda. Matt in Plainview, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matt.
Hi, I'm definitely pro-death penalty. In this case, I have reservations about it, and I think the main reservations come from the failure to call this a terrorist act. Has this been handled properly from the beginning? This guy is a terrorist. He says so. He was screaming Islamic slang as he killed people who wouldn't be in this position. This guy should be sent to Guantanamo and executed. But that not being the case, I don't know if I want him to be a martyr and give him the opportunity to do so, so I'd rather see him get life in prison.
Matt, thank you. Death penalty for murderers unless they want it. Ahmad in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ahmad.
Good morning, Brian, with a long-time listener. I wanted to just make a point to your last caller and the guest. First of all, there was no terrorism. Every time some Muslim kills somebody, they say, I'm terrorist. Secondly, you can apply the Muslim law against them. He pour innocent blood on the ground. In our book, you either get died or you got to pay the blood money. He doesn't have the blood money. So therefore, he should be executed. I'm tired of the people in this country. They don't. If they say that, hey, the Muslim are terrorists, apply the Islamic laws to them, then you will never find one single guy with Islamic background will raise an arm or blow the people or goes around the world and blow the, what do you call it, backpack bombs in Boston. This is the hypocrisy in this country. If the guy is a Muslim, apply the Muslim rules. He's coming to the court and he says, I'm a Muslim. I did this and that. And Islam is very clear. You pour innocent blood, you get either pay the blood money or you're going to get killed. That's all I want to say.
Ahmad, thank you very much. And let's go to John in Hackensack. John, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, I am. Absolutely against death penalty in this case. However, I don't believe he's a terrorist. I believe that he's a very disturbed individual, but he has pleaded guilty. He hasn't pleaded guilty, but he has admitted his guilt. I don't understand why we're wasting our tax dollars by putting on a military trial. Convict him, sentence him, and put this to bed. Put it away. This is a waste of time.
John, thank you very much. So,
if I may say that the military has to try him for this. There's no choice.
Well, you can't put somebody away without trying them.
No.
I mean, unfortunately, we've done that to some people at Guantanamo Bay, permanent detention without trial. This is an American citizen, a member of the U.S. military. He's entitled to a trial at taxpayer expense.
Yeah, that's right. And he cannot plead guilty to these offenses. And I might also emphasize there is no military crime of terrorism. What he did was commit a murder, many murders. And so that's perhaps one of the most serious charges under military law, and that's what he's being tried for.
Susan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Yes, I'd like to know why he's not being tried for treason. Here he was about to be sent to war, and instead of going to war...
And your phone is breaking up badly, but I think your question is clear. Why isn't he being charged with treason, which I think would also be a capital offense? Correct me if I'm wrong, Professor, but if he's a member of the military and he starts shooting up other military personnel, why would that not be treason? And considering some of the things that he said about his reason.
Again, treason is not a crime in the military. The closest crime is aiding the enemy. And his motives became clear, or at least his stated motives. For example, his attempted defense of the fact that he was defending the Taliban leadership came out later. I mean, certainly he could have been charged at that point with aiding the enemy, which is a capital offense under the military code. But by that time, several years had passed, and I think the military just wants to get him tried on the very serious charges that are already pending.
So Bradley Manning is charged with aiding the enemy, though he was acquitted of that, but Nidal Hassan is not.
Primarily because much of the information came to light well after the proceedings were initiated.
Also, Hassan was known to have been emailing with Anwar al-Awlaki, who the U.S. killed via drone attack in Yemen, because al-Awlaki was recruiting and leading terrorists. Could the military change the designation at this point for the sake of the victims?
It means starting all over again. And so I doubt that they want to do that. I think, you know, this thing has gone on for almost 4 years, which is highly unusual for a court-martial, which usually we're talking in terms of weeks or a month or so. I can't emphasize enough that the crimes that he has been charged with are extremely serious. And for premeditated murder, the only two sentences that can be given once he's convicted is either life imprisonment or death.
And I just want to also point out that I guess this indicates the complexity of figuring out what any individual is doing at any moment. He was actually commended at one point, Major Hassan, for researching terrorism and was not seen as a threat as he was looking this stuff up on the Internet, correct?
I believe so. In fact, his last officer evaluation report was satisfactory. I think he characterized it as outstanding, but they tend to be inflated. So, I mean, he got a decent evaluation report before the shooting occurred.
Some of the issues related to the Nidal Hassan Fort Hood shooting trial. We thank Richard Rosen, law professor at Texas Tech and former staff judge advocate at Fort Hood. And we thank you all for your calls. Professor Rosen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.